Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Jesus said, so also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. You may be seated. Jesus speaks about sorrow and joy on a great scale today in the gospel reading when he said, a little while and you will see me no longer, and again a little while and you will see me. Now those words of Jesus, it's always a good question of what he's referring to, and we see him pointing in one sense to the crucifixion and resurrection, but they also point you to that glory that is to come. And what that does with both of those things, the crucifixion and resurrection and the glory to come, is it informs who you are in this world and what your future holds. But apart from God's word, apart from knowing who our Lord is and what he has done, these things sound confusing and they're easily misunderstood. Look at the disciples. They didn't understand it at first, and Jesus spoke to them. St. John recorded for us, so some of his disciples said to one another, what is it that he says to us, a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, and because I'm going to the Father? So they were saying, what does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he is talking about. Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, is this what you are asking yourselves, what I meant by saying, a little while and you will not see me? And again, a little while, and you will see me. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. So let's think about all of this for a minute, what Jesus said. Think about that phrase, a little while. You see, that's something you need to be aware of in your lives in several ways. For my generation, the time how long it takes to download an app on our phone or for an update on our computer, that's a little while. Anything more than a few seconds on the computer and we start questioning our existence and thinking our lives are ones of terrible suffering. Right? The power goes out and for 5 minutes, if we have to open a jar of peanut butter, I think the world is ending. But Jesus is speaking to a little while in which they will see him lifted up on the cross and then laid into a tomb. And all the while, of that little while, would be torture leading up to his crucifixion. There would be an agonizing death upon the cross. There would be mocking of Jesus and deriding of men. That little while seems like a great while when you consider all that happened during that time. And then as Jesus bowed his head, gave up his spirit, that little while was a deafening silence as his body was laid in the tomb. Yet Easter morning came. The crucified Lord was risen from the dead. Sorrow was turned into joy. The tomb was empty. He appeared to his disciples and the 12, now 11. Mary Magdalene's tears were wiped away as the Lord called out her name in John's gospel. Death was defeated. Jesus is risen. So then the joy was the joy of God's peace given to them even as they were sent out to give this peace. Then 40 days later, then they saw the Lord before them. The Lord whom they did not see when he was laid in the tomb, they saw again. He ascended into heaven and was hidden from their sight. They saw him, did not see him, saw him again and again did not see him. But interestingly, though, Luke's gospel account of the ascension ends with something. St. Luke recorded, while he, Jesus, blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. So here, even as Jesus ascended into heaven, they, the apostles, returned to Jerusalem with what? Great joy. So there's something then in the end of all these little whiles, something that permeates through it and at the end of it that comes to them, joy. Now the antiphon for the intro today is shout for joy to God all the earth, alleluia, sing to the glory of his name, give to him glorious praise, alleluia. It's where we get this name of the Sunday of the church year comes from, Jubilate. There's joy to be found as you know that you see your life going through this world, and you fix your eyes on your crucified Lord, risen from the dead and ascended into heaven. So your life then is a life of joy because of Christ and his work for you. Well, that's all good and well, you might be thinking. Great, joy, wonderful. But you also know and experience another aspect of life on this side of the grave. Going through this life is something which is lived under the cross. Unless we forget that the Lord reminds us with that image in the reading, when a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. Now that's a pretty vivid image Jesus presents. Think about, too, when Jesus used this analogy, this was before epidurals, before pain meds of any kind, before classes teaching a husband how to use a tennis ball to massage his wife's back as she's doing breathing exercises. Labor is labor, and it's life in this world lived under the cross. This life is a life of labor. It is a life of toil. Adam in his sin was cursed to work the land by the sweat of his brow with thorns and thistles and then return to dust, even as he himself is dust. So when we try to define joy without understanding the ramifications of sin and living in the fallen world, we're always going to fall short and not truly understand what this joy is for us that Jesus actually does give and promise to us. You see, as Christians, we keep in mind that we are in this little while. Our lives are to be looking at what is the end of the little while and have that then define this life of the little while. One of the ways we lose sight of this, of that future joy, glory and joy, is when we forget what Jesus says, when we take our eyes off of him. Ask a woman who's in labor, pushing for 2 hours, how little of amount of time that seems like, and she'll likely punch you in the face. But think about how quickly a movie goes by, and before you know it, 2 hours of your life have gone as you sat and watched things get blown up with awesome special effects. We recently told Boyd about how at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark, a guy's face melts off, and that's all he talks about now. He wants to see that. So there's a reason why patience is a fruit of the Spirit. There's a reason why Jesus preaches to us and puts these things before us and teaches us who we are in this world and how we are to live in relation to that. Because in our fallen flesh, we aren't patient. We're the opposite, or the very least, selective in our patience. Think, for example, what is becoming less and less of a thing, but I remember when I was younger, right? Black Friday, waiting outside in the cold to get a doorbuster deal. Or we're willing to be patient when it comes to other things, learning, or then lose patience as we are growing up and we reach those milestones. Think about learning to drive, how long you thought that was coming, and now how many years have you been driving if you're past the 16-year-old mark, or getting married, any number of things. Or heaven forbid, a church service go on longer than an hour, but we get our money's worth and talk about how great a game was when it went into overtime. But godly patience, that patience that is a fruit of the Spirit, is a fruit of faith in Christ. So God teaches you patience, not only in suffering, but patience that is joyful as you know and cling to what your future in Christ will be and the joy which awaits you. So when you don't look to the future, when you don't know what you have been given in Christ and is yours in the waters of your baptism, you will lose sight of what is to come. The danger is real. Another element of this is what you heard in the epistle reading. St. Peter wrote, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation." Notice he used that language as sojourners, exiles, fixing your eyes on what is to come. And just as we forget the glory to come and that suffering and bearing crosses is but a little while, we also forget who we are as God has created us to be in Christ. We enter back into that yoke of slavery into sin that we've been delivered from and think it's okay, I have time, I will live how I want. But in this case, those words of Jesus call us to repentance. That little while turns into a stay awake. Don't grow complacent, for the days are evil. Don't be caught like the foolish virgins who stand outside of the wedding feast with no place in the banquet hall. So with our hearts this way, God warns us that our sorrow will not end. And there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The Christian's joy is not in sin. The Christian's joy is not in all sorts of ungodly things. There's no real joy in those. Rather, the delight of the Christian, your joy, which has been given to you, delights and finds joy in God's word and the things in which he gives. So don't be deceived with empty joy. Rather, as we pray in Divine Service Setting 1, we have that repentant joy, which looks outside of ourselves and to Christ who has redeemed us. So in all this, Jesus speaks to you today, and he does give you joy. He has atoned for your sin. He is risen from the dead, and he is still with you, and not just in some mushy I feel him way, which doesn't assuage your sin and sorrow, but he actually does give you joy. Because you see, you know who you are. You know what this means as you're going through this little while. You're not going through it aimlessly. No, baptized into Christ, you are clothed with Christ. He speaks to you as his word is in your midst. He feeds you with his own body and blood, and you have forgiveness, life, and salvation. He strengthens and keeps you in the faith, fixing your eyes on the eternal joy to come and will never be taken from you. So you see, even in this little while, Jesus is still here. He's still with you. He's still giving you what he has done. That Old Testament reading from Isaiah says this about God: the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And you see, that's all yours too, as your Lord is here. And though you don't see him, he's still here, hidden and veiled in his means. And the thing about your Lord too is that as he goes through this little while with you, as he's with you here, even now, he never grows weary. He never grows faint. He keeps you in his care. He upholds you. He strengthens you. He points you to that day where this will be the same for you, where there will be no more sin, no more death, no more assaults of the devil and the fallen world to assail you and try to tear you away from Christ. No, instead, your future is known and you have hope of what is to come. Jesus is here even now with healing, and he gives himself and all of his benefits. So this little while of this day, hearing his word, receiving a supper, feeds you with the bread of life and gives you eternal salvation. And you see, as the church of God too, as you go through the little while, you're not alone. You're together here with your fellow saints in this communion. And you're encouraged with those confessing this faith with you and by the faithful witness of those who have gone before you in the faith too. With angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify the glorious name of the one who turns your sorrow into joy, even now. And the one who gives you unending joy on that day that you are raised from the dead and at that eternal feast forever. So, dear people of God, know that you are the Lord's. Know that you will see him. Know that all this suffering, sorrow, crosses, sin, death, they will be gone. Because you see, death has been destroyed by his death. Jesus has won the victory, and he gives it to you. So with high delight, let us unite in songs of great jubilation. The day is coming when you see the Lord face to face and in the unending joy and glory. And remember what Jesus says: no one, no one will take that joy from you. So be of good cheer. It's but a little while, but the Lord is still with you. He forgives you. He gives you joy. It is but a little while in this veil of tears, but the glory to come is after everlasting. Shout for joy to God all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.